Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Might be a boring CS. We'll talk about it. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich with you. This is Bet Sweats. Welcome in on this Wednesday. As usual, on Wednesdays, we will have power rankings. We're going to go over our top five NFL teams at this moment. Maybe some surprises along the way there. Live Dogs and Teasers, a new game that I think we stumbled into yesterday on the show. 3, 2, 1. Can't wait. That'll be fun. Make sure you hang out. A few great guests. Nate Collins will join us in 20 minutes. Todd Frazier, 11 a.m. Eastern. Caroline Fenton on college football. A lot going on, especially as always this time of year in sports. And Sam, we're going to break down the betting angles. Check us out at BetMGMNetwork.com. BetMGMNetwork.com. That takes you to the Odyssey app. Follow us there. And subscribe on YouTube. I see a lot of YouTube folks jumping in of late. Love to see it. Subscribe to the BetMGM Network pages. Always have a couple video clips if you miss any of the show from some stuff that we think you'll be interested in. Baseball, Sam, Dodgers up 2-0. All right, ALCS 2-0, NLCS 2-0. We get here a lot in sports and in the playoffs, and a lot of times we overreact and say, okay, it's going to be a short series, and then you start to see a bounce back a little bit, but it's not always the Dodgers involved. The Brewers can't even get in scoring position, man.
Not good for the over, 7.5. Nope. Although there were several chances for the Dodgers to get there basically by themselves. They had the bases loaded multiple times at the back half of that game and just couldn't get that death blow. I mean, they didn't need it because Milwaukee can't score, at least right now. Every morning I do this new thing where I log into BetMGM and check the World Series MVP odds. And I just watched Teoscar Hernandez shorten and shorten and shorten. He is now 11-1. He was 100. He was 100-1, Joe.
You're so mad at yourself. I'm aware.
I know. It's so nice. Very nice for you to have that. Very not nice for me to forget to put that in after it was talked about on this show. But Ohtani still favored. Then Cal, then Freddie, then Julio, then Mookie, then Teoscar. But I also think the way that it's happened with the two teams taking a 2-0 lead, it's been the road team. So Usually it's the home team holding serve, and then the road team tries to claw back in when the road team goes home. Nope. Dodgers go to Milwaukee. Seattle goes to Toronto. Bang, 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 bang. And it's very funny. All summer, into the fall, the one fatal flaw that the writers, the analysts, the media people all talked about with the Dodgers, the bullpen. Well, if the rotation goes 0-5 White Sox on your ass, you're not going to have to worry about the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Last night did not have to worry about it at all. It was shaky in game one, though, with the bullpen. But game two, I think that had something to do with it. Yeah, let's not mess around. Let's not play. Let's just shut this thing down. We're going to have full rest. We don't need to short rest any of our starters. We're going to be just fine. Hernandez goes deep. Muncy goes deep. Solo homers. See, you're kicking yourself for not getting that World Series MVP play in, even though we haven't played a game in the World Series yet. I'm kicking myself for not doing NLCS. Like, if I like those names for the World Series, why would I like those same names at those prices for the NLCS? I didn't do anything there. And those CS MVP odds, which is something you can bet on. Extra base hits. I mean, that was not it, man. Freeman his fourth double of the playoffs. Kike, his fourth double of the playoffs. Edmund, Páez, six extra base hits last night for the Dodgers. You would think they would score more than five, but they haven't been great with runners in scoring position. As you mentioned, these overs probably should be hitting, but they're just not because they don't have great numbers with runners in scoring position. Here's the scary thing. As dominant as the Dodgers have been, nothing, and I mean nothing, from the best player in the world. So what if he shows up in the World Series? What if Ohtani actually does something? Congratulations, you go 1-for-5 last night. You finally got a hit. It was like, oh, monkey off his back. Something's going to happen now. I don't know. All his teammates seem to be doing better. I don't think there's going to be much Milwaukee fight in this one. Are you thinking like 5 games max, or can they push this a little bit?
I just don't know if they can find the rhythm at the plate. You know, baseball is a very streaky sport, as you know. It comes in waves and then it disappears in waves. And for the Dodgers to have 5 runs, the Brewers have 3 hits. That's the math to me. This team's outscoring you, obviously, but they're getting more runs than you're getting knocks at the plate. And I don't know that that just turns on its head in a very small pocket of time. Ohtani, to the point, though, about him struggling, was very funny in the group thread last night. Paul texts the boys, does Ohtani have a hit yet? Bang. Almost seconds later, happened. Ohtani gets an RBI single. Very funny, given how we know Paul likes to run sometimes. Ohtani's still favored, though, to win World Series MVP because the capability, the potential is obviously there. I don't know how long the series goes, but mathematically, it doesn't feel great. It's wild. Both teams have a 2-0 lead. Both teams go on the road. Seattle to win the series, minus 600. The Dodgers, minus 1,400 to win the series. The math is saying it's basically over.
Yep, it is. $12 over at BetMGM. I see a range of $10 to $20 for the Dodgers in the NLCS. Some people saying we don't want to take any more bets. When that text came in from Paul, I think it's frustrating. So I had to watch the game on my phone, which I know you've been in that spot many times when you're dealing with Wi-Fi issues and trains and planes and all that stuff, trying to watch games. It's not an enjoyable experience. Like, we spend all this money, we have this setup, and then we end up in positions where you have these big games that you want to watch in a relaxed atmosphere, and you got to be doing something that you don't really want to do. So around that time, I think it was 9:24 here. All right, daughter's fall ball playoff game going on. I'm like, okay, one more minute. Come on, let's have a long at bat. One more minute. They can't go to a new inning. It's 9:24, and he starts telling the runner on third, go home, go home. She's utterly confused. Everybody else is confused. I know exactly what he's doing. Wanted her to run into the out, so we had to play another inning. So then I had to sit there another 20, 25 minutes. Yeah, he's like, let's take our chances. Let's run into this out. We're down 4. Let's see what happens next. Well, they end up losing by 11. But, yeah, so that was fun. All the parents are ready to go. All right, good fun season. Let's go home. It's late. It's a school night. Go home. Go home. Okay. Out. New inning.
Wait, boo! I think you buried the lead. 7 more runs the next inning?
It was sweet justice, if we're being honest.
So he's trying to strategically maneuver this situation where you get the out and we'll get 4 in the next inning, but then give up 7 in the next half inning.
Yeah, yeah. And then I don't think we scored any in the extra.
Well, of course not. Like the Brewers. It's like the Dodgers and the Brewers.
It's, man, 2 games. So I saw them mention this in the post game. I'm like, that can't be right. And I took a look at it. I'm like, holy crap, he's right. The Dodgers have had 21 at-bats with runners in scoring position. Do you know how many at-bats the Brewers have had?
I don't. I'm going to guess 4.
High. You're high.
Really?
Yes. You're very high. 2-1. It's 1 at-bat. with a runner in scoring position, and the Dodgers have had 21 of them. It's like, good luck, even though they're not hitting at a high rate with runners in scoring position. Good luck with all that. Game three, Glasnow. Game four, Ohtani. That is what is waiting on the Brewers, and the Brewers have not announced their starters for the next couple of games. So we've got one game going down tonight, Toronto-Seattle back at it. Of course, a 2-0 advantage there, and then both of the series will be in play coming up on Thursday. Seattle, a $1.35 favorite over at BetMGM with Kirby on the bump against Toronto. So we'll get into that later on today, especially when Todd Frazier, Foul Territory, joins us at 11 a.m. Eastern. Something else that stood out, you know, kind of like the off day with the NFL. All right, let's recalibrate. Let's see where we're at with everything. Holy cow, was it a week of injuries for wide receivers, Sam? That's what stood out to me. Like, we mentioned on Monday and Tuesday, oh, this guy got hurt, that guy got hurt. And then when you look at the full list, it's like, holy crap. So DJ Moore spends a night in the hospital of the Bears. They're calling him day to day. I doubt he's going to be ready for the New Orleans game for Chicago. Garrett Wilson going to miss multiple games for the Jets. Puka has the ankle. They say he's day to day. Maybe he is because he did return in that game. Marvin Harrison Jr., concussion. So you would expect him to miss the next game. You've got Ibuka. He's going to miss time. People guessing maybe a month for him. You still have Godwin out for the Bucs. And the Titans, Ridley's got a hamstring. We know those things tend to linger for a few weeks for wide receivers. So when you look back at it, it was the week of the wide receiver injury.
Oh, Ridley's hurt? There's another receiver on my IR, I guess, in fantasy. Oh, not geez. IR, but I mean, it's just my entire team.
Everyone.
Everybody is hurt. Burrow, Njoku, McLaurin, mm-hmm. Ridley, Tracy. Not that Tracy was like anything special for the Giants. My defense is basically all hurt with Minnesota. I'm
What's
surprised my kicker hasn't pulled a hammy yet. I did get a win. Finally, I'm 1-4, but nobody cares about my fantasy
team. Is there a
team
punishment, though?
Team.
I care if there's a punishment.
No, I don't think so. Okay. We just have the winner take the pot. That's it.
Okay.
But open up for JSN, question mark? He's just dominating and staying on the field right now. That's more than half the battle, I guess, for offensive player.
Yeah, I know. Well, CMC's still healthy.
For now.
There it is. You were the guy before the season. You were getting mad at everybody suggesting that he's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. And now you're so ravaged by injury with your fantasy team. You're like, yeah, he's going to get hurt too.
That's what Dan Patrick told me when we were talking about offensive player. He's like, well, McCaffrey's always hurt. I go, he won the award 2 years ago. And Dan's like, yeah, but then he got hurt. And I'm like, well, he's not always hurt. He just won the award. But I'm waiting for that other shoe to drop. That was my first round pick, McCaffrey. He's the only thing holding me above water. I mean, I'm basically already dead, but, it's crazy what McCaffrey's doing because I think unlike any other player at the top of this board, everybody knows where the ball's going with McCaffrey, you know, mm-hmm. like there's nobody yeah. else that really scares you on San Francisco. So for him to consistently put up over 100 yards a game and basically get a touchdown a game, I'm very impressed by that. But you sort of know what's coming, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. With the way things are going, it's like you're dodging landmines with San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Bosa. Yeah. It's Kittle. It's Warner. It's Ayuk.
Like, Purdy.
It's Purdy, of course. When is your team, when is your chance coming up next? What is the vibe in the Boston area? Like, how high are they on New England? We talked about their schedule moving forward and divisions and all that, and their real legitimate chance of winning the AFC East. And I'm staring at Vrabel 5-1. I'm like, this might be the best price you get on Vrabel 5-1 coach of the year in a long, long time. There's going to be a lot of buzz around him, assuming they win this revenge game this weekend against the Titans.
So the Patriots fans are starting to say that they have regained the East. They have taken it back from Buffalo because, as you know, Joe, after two losses, the Bills are cooked, which I'm hearing a ton these days. I have two screenshots. One of them is from Nick Costos saying, if you bet Buffalo to win the Super Bowl, you've wasted your money. And then my teammate at Fox, Tom Brady, has the Buffalo Bills outside his top 10 power ranking. So I guess the season's over in Buffalo.
I was jokingly going to ask if you knocked Buffalo out of your top five when we do power rankings in an hour. What?
No.
Outside the top 10? I know you haven't. Outside the top 10?
Yeah, season is over, newsflash, because the Bills lost back-to-back games. It's over. I'm going to light all my Buffalo stock on fire because the Costos-Brady combo say it's over. So I'm glad that on October 15th, the Buffalo Bills season has come to an end. RIP.
This is insane. And then we're seeing other power rankings get released in the last 24 hours. And it felt like, to a man, it's Bucks won. Okay. Mm. I think we're going to disagree with that one during our power rankings. I think so. All right. We'll get to that coming up. Next, Nate Collins will hang out. Joe O, Sammy P. More NFL chatter coming your way. This is Bet Sweats. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of Nate Collins' former teams comes through Monday night with the Chicago Bears over Washington. A little Fail Mary revenge there. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. Every Wednesday on the show, we get Nate Collins here to drop by to hang out. And Nate, how you feeling on this Wednesday morning, man?
I feel good. Jake Moody's his revenge. Jake Moody with a little revenge, little ha-ha to Deebo Samuels on the sideline. He's still thinking about getting choked and seeing those videos choked on the sideline by Deebo when they were in San Fran together. So him kicking that game-winning field goal after missing one in that game or having one blocked, I know that felt good. I know that felt good for him for sure.
I have this new theory that when a kicker gets cut or moved aside, when he goes to that next team, if he's lucky, he's nails right out of the gate. Like, there's something to prove, and there's something that just kind of works out in the world where if you get cut, you then become not elite, but I knew that kick was going in because they were talking about it during the drive. Like, you know, he didn't really kick well in San Francisco, and I'm like, he's about to nail this, John. You know, and it was right down the middle, Nate.
Yeah, kickers are one of those jobs in the NFL where you got a short leash, to say, and especially if you get cut from somewhere as being a kicker, it's almost one of those things. If you go somewhere else, like you have to be perfect so you can kind of keep that job, honestly.
Yeah, no doubt. Like the Bears, you look at Santos, and he's been great here. And then a guy they had a few years ago, Pinheiro, right now he's the best kicker in football for San Francisco. It's like these guys end up moving around, and it ends up working out. So, kickers, huge thing there. All right, your Jaguars. You got to watch Seattle up close. This is a team that we've been kind of fascinated with because – the metrics love them. Like, as far as balance, strong offense and defense, they certainly pop. Like, Sam Darnold's been awesome. The defense, phenomenal as well. And then they're just kind of hanging out in the NFC West, and everybody talks about the other teams outside of that. I'm really interested in one of the two Monday night games that we have this week, Seattle and Houston. But you tell me, what were your takeaways after watching the Seahawks play your Jaguars?
JSN is a dog. He gets open anytime he wants. He can run any route on the route tree. And I watched him honestly just decimate our defense. Ours meaning the Jaguars. And what a way to get a new player in Newsom. And the first play he plays, they throw a 60-yard bomb on his head to JSN. And I was just like, I was dumbfounded watching that. But JSN is really good. And after watching that tape and then rewatching the game a little bit, it's one of those things where anyone who's going to play the Seahawks, like, our defense doesn't have to feel bad because JSN most likely is going to do that to everybody. He gets open. He finds his spots. I think him and Sam Darnold, they have a connection right now that you kind of want with your quarterback and your number one receiver, and they have that. And it was one of those things where it just seemed like anything we would do to try to stop him, he was still finding his spots, finding the holes in the defense. And it's easy enough to say, but he catches the rock. He's no drop passes. Ball's going in his direction. He's finding a way to get his hands on it and come down with it. And great footwork, toe tapping. He's just an amazing player.
In about 35 minutes, Joe and I are going to do our power rankings. Can't wait for the people to get really mad online at us. But our exercise this week is the best five teams in football. And it's very difficult to put them in order. Not only is it hard to put number one on top, but to put five in order. If we were just going to ask you, who's the best team in football right now? What's the answer?
The best team in football. Dang. It's crazy, but like, I mean, obviously every week changes everything, and I hate to say that Kansas City is shaping up to be, but right now in the current moment, it's hard to say, but I really like the Patriots. I don't think they're really the best team in football, but I just think they have the highest ceiling, and right now they're playing exactly how they should be. I feel like they took losses that maybe it's good to take right now. But if I wasn't going to say the Patriots just because that's my Super Bowl pick, it has to be Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Baker Mayfield is easily right now the MVP of the league. And just seeing what he's doing with his 5th, 6th, 7th receiver on his team right now with all of their starting receivers being hurt, we always kind of give teams the benefit of the doubt, or we kind of give them excuses when guys are hurt. And Tampa, they just keep winning. Mike Evans is hurt. He's one of the biggest names in football. And Baker's, like, best target. And he hasn't played in weeks. And they're still winning games. And I just think that Baker, if he keeps playing like this, like, Tampa Bay is the team to beat, I think, right now in football.
I think your response was also kind of telling, and I agree with where you're at, because you wrestled with it and then you popped up with a few names that most people would have laughed at you a few weeks ago, but they're playing to that level. Like, I have trouble with the Colts. Like, I still don't know where to put them. Yes, really, really good. Are they great? Is anybody great? Like, that's what I'm kind of looking at. It feels like week after week, we get here and I'm like, I think the list of teams that could win the Super Bowl is expanding, but usually when the season marches on, it shrinks, but it feels like it's the opposite. And part of that is, to me, it doesn't seem like anybody is great. Is that how you feel right now?
It is. And I was just thinking about this earlier and looking at everyone's records. And I feel like even for the power ranking thing, I think this season, and I wonder if every season is this way, but right now in this current where everyone's at, I think it's the race to 8 games. Like, whatever teams, like, that can kind of get to 8 wins first, I think that is going to kind of be, like, our metric of, hey, like, this team is probably serious. Because we're getting at that point in the year. If teams can start knocking out wins, it's just going to change everything, how we look at it. Because right now, 3-3 with the Kansas City Chiefs, like, that doesn't look intriguing when you look at it. But if you're watching their team and just seeing them over the past few weeks getting better and better, and you see their schedule that's coming up, it's like, hey, if Kansas City wins a couple more games, like, everyone's going to be like, who can beat them. So it's going to be funny how everything changes. And just how I just said that about Kansas City, and if they end up losing a game, if they don't get over 500 after this week, I mean, it'll be a conversation again. But it's going to get really interesting. And I think whatever teams get to 8 wins first, I think that's really going to start pushing our barometer of who we think are serious for the postseason.
Are the Buffalo Bills going to be okay?
Ooh. Ooh. I just seen a quote that they put out with Josh Allen's wife saying, or him quoting, saying that like his wife made him realize that he's more than a football player.
Oh, no.
I feel like that is not good. That is not a good thing to hear right now with how the Bills are playing. And I just feel like if I was a Bills fan, I would not like to see that quote, because I want my quarterback feeling like, yes, all you are a football player. But not only are you just a football player, you're one of the best. You're the MVP. Like, you're the MVP. You need to put the team on the back. You need to go back to being Josh Allen, the superhero. I just feel like that team right now, the games that they lost and that they're losing is bad timing. And I feel like we get this every year with Buffalo Bills, where they play games where they blow out everyone who we think are contenders, and then they'll play teams that we quote unquote think are lesser than them, and we get a team that you're just like, what are you guys doing? You guys have James Cook. Just hand the ball off to him. Run something with Josh Allen. Score points. Do what you guys do. And for some reason, like, we're not getting that with them right now. And I would be worried. And I don't know. I just – that match with just all over the NFL, I think we have a lot of injuries. And it's about the teams that can overcome and kind of the next man up. So it's going to be interesting to see Buffalo – how they bounce back after these losses.
With Nate Collins here on Bet Sweats, Nate Collins at Big N 98 over on X and other social media. Check him out on the Greenlight podcast, which is presented by BetMGM. Nate, what are the Philadelphia Eagles?
Man. So the Greenlight pod is essentially, I would say, an Eagles, like, for the majority of our fan base. And I like trolling them, because everyone on the pod, for the majority, like, they cheer for the Eagles and I cheer for the Jags. But the Eagles, I said it at the beginning of the last week, this week is a make or break week for them, I feel like, because in that locker room right now, I just feel like as an ex-player, it's probably like eggshells, and it's kind of feeling of the implosion is about to happen. Either they're going to get it all together, or one more loss can start causing a bunch of media storm. I mean, AJ Brown, I feel like, already is, for just media stuff that doesn't need to be a big story, I feel like he can kill a lot of stories, and he doesn't choose to. And him being one of the best players on a team, I just think that festers around, and guys, at some point, you get kind of tired of it, because when he was complaining, they were winning, and it's just a bad vibe to have a guy and a teammate like that, you know, is one of the best on the team, and whether we should be getting you the ball or not, we're winning, and that's the ultimate goal. So I just feel like they have a lot of stuff to work out, but just with anything, winning cures everything, and they have to win a game so everything can kind of get back to normal for Philadelphia.
You look at the board yet for week 7? We got a London game again. We got a bunch of games on Sunday. We got a double dip on Monday night. I know you got the BetMGM app open. I can see you rifling through it right now. What's jumping off?
I am. I'm really intrigued at the Depends and Icy Hot Bowl that's happening tomorrow night with Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers. Two 40-year-old quarterbacks is absolutely crazy to me. And for some reason, I feel like they're both going to find a way to perform on the big stage and do well. But other than my Jags, in the morning on Sunday, I think, hard to say, but I'm not fully sold on Bryce Young and the Panthers. And I think the Jets, get their first win this week.
Mm. Wow. Okay. They're not a different
say team. I'm not going to say it too loud. I'm not going to say it too loud. But I think the Jets get their win this week. And one of the reasons why is I think the guys on the on the Jets right now, they know that trade deadline is about to end. And it's in your best interest to try to put something pretty good on tape if you do want a chance to maybe get out of there and get to a contending team. So I feel like the guys in the locker room right now maybe are like, hey, we got to get this win. I got to play well. And maybe that will help the Jets get a win. But I think my bet of the week, I would pick Jets money line. I mean, it's plus 1.5 if you want to stay a little safe. But me, for the plus 105, I'll go Jets money line.
Okay. Got about a minute left, Nate. I'm fascinated to see what happens in New England and Tennessee. And then it's Vrabel week in Tennessee, and they fire their coach because they don't want to hear the comparisons probably between Callahan and Vrabel. I'm sure that's part of it. And you know there's revenge. This has been circled all year from a player's perspective. Do you buy into this narrative that's going to be out there the rest of the week, that the players are actually going to get behind Vrabel and really want to get after the Titans?
I think so. And the reason why I think so is I think the 360 attitude and just everything about Stephon Diggs right now with that team, I think that's a big thing that everyone should be looking at and talking about. Stephon Diggs, obviously, he's a diva wide receiver, rightfully so. He's amazing. He's great. But that being a diva can really be a cancer in the locker room. And to see that he's not the main focus there and he knows that there's a young quarterback in that locker room that can take them places that they want to go, and how he's just bought into Vrabel and he's got there and said, hey, I want to be coached hard, and maybe not the best start in the media when he got there, but to see the change and to see how he's helping this team, I think Stephon Diggs will have these guys ready this week. Like, hey, this is coach's old team. We're going to go down there and we're going to make a statement. So our coach looks good and we look good. I feel like it will be an emphasis, maybe not from Vrabel. Vrabel does not care about any of this. He just wants a win. But I think with someone like Stephon Diggs in that locker room, I think he would be letting these guys know, like, hey, this week is a little more special for coach. Let's go out there and put our best foot forward and, like, try to blow these guys out. I definitely think so.
Yep. We're on the same page there. Nate Collins, Greenlight Podcast. Good stuff there, Nate. Appreciate it. We'll talk next Wednesday. Joe O, Sammy P, college football on the other side. BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got power rankings coming your way, top of the hour, top five NFL teams. I think this is going to be fun. We haven't done this one in a while, and it's fascinating because you've got a lot of maneuvering. You've got a lot of overreactions that are out there, and people would say, hey, it's not overreacting. It's been 6 weeks. I think we'll disagree, but I have no idea what Sam's list is. Sam has no idea about my list. We'll go over it in about 20 minutes. Want to get your reaction as well. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, Bet Sweats. We are on X, Bet_Sweat. Sam at SB Shoot. I'm at Joe Ostrowski. Let's talk some college football future. Sam, I don't think we've really even done this too much. Like, we've loosely mentioned title odds here or there on some teams. After a loss, is there value there? Whatever. Like, but I don't think we've really taken a deep dive into these title odd numbers, playoff numbers, and all that. Ohio State, justifiably, still the favorite. They are a perfect 6-0. They are about plus 350. That's the best number that you're going to find on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Then you have to double the price to get to the second favorite. You go 7-1 to get to Alabama. Miami at most spots, your third favorite at 9-1. Indiana cracks the top four in the odds at 10-1. Then you get to Oregon coming off a loss in that top five, 12-1 there. Then you go Georgia, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, and Texas. Similar numbers at around 18-1. Texas Tech rounds out the 20-1 numbers. Texas Tech undefeated on the youngish season. Sam, as I start to look at power rankings of different people that I respect, one thing really jumps out to me, and it's something that a lot of people, if they were to make their own top 25 rankings, they would not have, is even though they have two losses, there's a lot of people that I respect that have Notre Dame very, very high. They've got a big game this weekend. They are sizable favorites over USC. This is, I would say, probably the last spot where they could lose a game moving forward. Now, if they lose a third game, we know they're probably out. But if they don't, and where they are in people's power rankings, it's interesting. You would point to the 18-1 and say, if you truly believe that Notre Dame is a top four, top five team, you probably should be betting this number.
I have them fifth in the country right now. And I don't think that's really that crazy. I mean, you know who the top three are. It's Ohio State, Miami, Oregon. Some guys would have Bama a little bit above Oregon. Fine. And yes, Oregon still has a higher rating than Indiana, even though Indiana just beat Oregon. I know people have a hard time with that, but from a numerical standpoint, if Oregon and Indiana played tomorrow on a neutral, Oregon is still favored. I'm sorry. That's just the way it works. Upsets happen all the time, but it doesn't mean that the team that pulled the upset is still better in the eyes of an odds maker. Now, if you want to have this conversation, like, is Indiana better? That's different. But from an odds maker standpoint, they still are not going to drop. Or, I mean, Oregon was just a seven and a half point favorite at home, and home field ain't worth seven. So maybe if they play again, the number is a little bit lower. Maybe it's five and a half, I guess. If you wanted to, Oregon would still get bet, though. You know, if you were going to reopen that game, if they were going to play Saturday, Oregon home against Indiana, and you open at five and a half, Oregon's going to get that first bet. Mm-hmm. Odds are good. But Notre Dame is five for me. The defense looks better. They've clearly made a couple adjustments, and the quarterback's been insane. CJ Carr is unbelievable right now. I just pulled my entire ear set out. That hurt like hell. That really hurt. Like, my ear is ringing right now. Anyways, Notre Dame, number five for me.
It's interesting. Okay, so the idea, we talked about this in the offseason. We talk about it every time it happens. When you have a top-tier team that loses, can you find value in them? Can you find value in Oregon? They are fifth in the odds. 12-1's the best price you're going to see. They just played two top teams. I say that loosely because, you know, we now know about Penn State. But they did beat them in double overtime, and then Penn State's entire season, entire everything in the football program completely fell apart. You have the loss against Indiana, but you also have sitting 5-1. You've got Rutgers, Wisconsin. You go to Iowa, Minnesota. You host USC at Washington. Of those last six games, you would think it's a minimum 5-1 for Oregon. So they're probably in. Do you think there's value on 12-1?
Especially off the loss, yes. This would be the time to buy, naturally. It's funny how this works, though, because I think you have more people now thinking, oh, I'll bet Indiana and not Oregon. But coming into that game, it was Oregon, 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 Oregon. But then Oregon loses, and it's like, oh, well, Indiana's better. Well, that's not how it works. You want to buy the right team at the right price. And Oregon, I saw a couple like 6-1s going into that game against the Hoosiers. And then they lose, and the odds go to 10 or 12. So if you're looking to buy, this would not be the time to buy Indiana. The time to buy Indiana is before the win. The time to buy Oregon is likely after the loss. I personally don't think Oregon's winning the title, I understand it from a fundamental standpoint to buy the dip. I get it. For me, the best bet at price is Miami at 9-1. I still think they have the best line play in the country, and their quarterback is 28-3 as a starter.
Yep. I was thinking Big Ten. So you've got Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon all in. You agree?
Yeah.
Those three.
Yeah, for sure.
A fourth? Is there a fourth? Is it?
If USC beats Notre Dame, I think they're in.
This week. Comes down to this week. Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
It's not Penn State. Right.
Can a two-loss USC team make it? Yeah, I know. You kick them out, it changes things. Can a two-loss USC team make it coming out of a super conference? Like, if they lose this week, so now they're 5-2, but they don't lose again. So that includes winning in Oregon in the second to last week.
I guess you'd have to split.
Yeah,
you'd have to split against USC and Oregon. If you lose both of those games and you have three losses and you haven't beaten any of the best opponents, you're out. Now, beating Michigan, some would say, is a nice win. But with losses to Illinois, USC, and Oregon, I don't think the committee would put USC in. You have to win one of those two games, at Notre Dame, at Oregon.
Yep. Yeah. Just looking at things as far as like – I don't want it. Like, if you look at conference futures, I'm just really not all that interested. Like, am I interested in taking a team that's not named Ohio State? Not only do they have to get in, then they have to get in, then they have to beat down Ohio State. Yeah, it could very well happen, but I'm not interested in hunting for that. Are you?
No. No, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing. SEC, no idea. I think we know the 3-4 teams. We just went over them coming out of the Big Ten. Depends on USC that could make the playoff, but I don't know. If you want to follow the AP rankings, they've got 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11 ranked teams. It's like, which ones are going to come out of this mess alive? I mean, you're gambling.
Yeah, you are. A&M is getting a ton of respect from the guys that I talk to from a number standpoint. I got Matoy Pearson's numbers up right here. He's got Texas A&M as the number 6 team in the country right now. Okay, fine. I believe his numbers. And then you look at the price and you go, oh, I could find a 16-1. If they're that good or better than the market even understands with a quarterback that's been very special, maybe that team is worth a flyer. I'm surprised, though, Moe's actually really low on Ole Miss. He's got A&M 6 points better than Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And Georgia, he's got 8 points better than Ole Miss. So, yeah, I'm just like, oh, that's interesting.
What about Bama?
So, he's got Bama number 3.
But how much
higher than Oregon by half a point?
How much better than Ole Miss?
Bama on Ole Miss, 8.5.
Oh, he really doesn't. He thinks they're the fraudulent one in this group, because that's where I was going to go. Which one are you hearing is the fraudulent squad that is viewed, you know, top 5 of the SEC, probably in the playoff? So he would say Ole Miss.
Right. And I see that. And then I go over, I get Kenny's numbers as well, Kenny White's numbers. He's got Ole Miss at 13th in the country. So that's sort of how the room feels about Ole Miss. Actually, they both have them 13th in the country. So okay. I see that and think, okay, not betting that team, right? Because if the power rating is low, they have to pull so many upsets as a touchdown dog or higher, and that's very unlikely in the playoff. At the end of the day, it could be very, very sad, though. We could just have Ohio State win it again. They're the best team with the best defense. Unbelievable receiver play with Smith and Tate. They can run the ball, and Julian Sain is a 5-star recruited quarterback who's getting better every game. We look for value. We try and find nice bets. Maybe it's just Ohio State again, though. It could be that simple.
What about Texas? It's hard to figure out, what do you do after this Oklahoma game? Like, what are your okay? Yeah, great. Arch Manning probably played his best game. Okay, there's an injured quarterback that kept throwing the ball to the other team on the other side. And, you know, moving, well, they just have one conference loss. That's why I bring them up. And we know how strong the defense is. And you would expect Arch to continue to improve as the season marches on. Next couple games, they're on the road in the SEC, but they should win them. Kentucky, Mississippi State. Then they're sitting 6-2 overall, 3-1 in the conference before you get into Vandy, Georgia, Texas A&M. What do you think the chances are that they get back into this conversation?
They could make the playoff for sure. I mean, that's clear to me. In terms of winning the playoff, though, I hate their offense. I don't trust their quarterback. It's not to say that he's a bust, but the combination of a shaky O-line and a quarterback that's really struggling to read the field, mm-hmm. they can make the playoff for sure. Win the whole thing? Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'm talking make the playoff, be one of the likely four teams out of the SEC to make that. Yeah. So that's, there's going to be some really good SEC teams that do not make the playoff. There's no doubt about that. We'll continue to monitor that. Joe O, Sammy P, power rankings, top five NFL teams on the other side, the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.